they say you should put your money where your mouth is. For an example of this, look no further than the life of one Thomas Baker Slick Jr. Born in the early 1900s and heir to an extravagant fortune, Tom Jr. became wealthy at a young age. In addition to being an inventor, philanthropist, possible CIA agent, World War II veteran, and advocate for world peace, Tom also invested millions of dollars in the burgeoning science of cryptozoology. Join us tonight as we examine the eccentric life, tragic death, and enduring legacy of Texas's forgotten millionaire. That's today on Hey Strangeness.
Hello, friends. I've a query for you. Are you sick of being confused every time someone mentions the term chupacabra? Do you think it's rather stupid that the term applies to two different things? Are you at a loss as to why we refer to a mangy dog from Texas by the same name we use for an interdimensional, extraterrestrial, primordial, vampiric super being? Then join us! Together, we can change the name of the Texas Chupacabra. Stay tuned for more.
Welcome to Hey Strangeness. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Aaron. And it's episode 6. Welcome to episode 6. This is actually a pretty big milestone for us, because, shut up, cat. Our first season was going to end with episode 6, and then we were going to... Yeah, then we're going to take a step back and decide if this is really something we want to do. But I'm having so much fun.
We're just going to keep going.
Just going to keep going, yeah, until we don't want to anymore. Yeah, I'm really excited to be here. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm doing really good. I was lazy today.
That's good.
I was good. Yeah,
did you take a nap?
I did not, actually. No.
Oh.
No.
I don't know if you noticed, but our last 2 or 3 episodes, you took a nap before we recorded.
Oh, well, so I wonder what will happen tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm good. It's been kind of a hectic week. It's been long. I got tired of people today. I was just tired of the things that people do. But now I'm here with you, my favorite person, talking about some of my favorite things. So I'm very happy. And if you're attending CryptidCon in November,
Kentucky,
Lexington, Kentucky, baby, we will be there. And just today, I found out, speaking of paranormality, that we will be attending as representatives of Paranormality Media. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Paranormality is now a CryptidCon sponsor, so I will be, if you're going to be there, watch out, because I will probably ask you questions and try to take a selfie with you and possibly, you know, I don't know. I'm going to be really extra, though, so I just hope you guys are okay with that. I hope that's all right. So, yeah, this was going to be the end of our first season, but things are going so well, in my opinion. The feedback from all of you has been so positive, and we're having so much fun. We're just going to keep at it. Just going to keep at it for at least 3 to 4 more episodes. But still, episode 6 is a milestone because this was going to be the end, and now it's not. That's really cool. I think that's everything I had. Do you have any updates or news items?
No.
Okay, cool. So I guess let's get into it. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm super ready. Okay. Originally, this was going to be an episode about Sasquatch sightings in central and southwestern Texas. But while doing research, I learned about a guy so interesting, so fascinating, that I decided not only we needed to talk about him, but that he needs his own episode. He just needs it. It's necessary.
I didn't know about him until last week.
Which is really cool. And not in a fun way. In a bad way. It's interesting to me that you don't know about the person we're talking about tonight already. And I'll tell you why. But we are going to be discussing the life and times of millionaire, philanthropist, activist, oil heir, inventor, and cryptozoologist... Tom Slick. Thomas Bernard Slick was born in 1916. Shortly after birth, his parents took to calling him Thomas Baker Slick Jr. His father's middle name was Baker, because they had a falling out with the man named Bernard that was originally his namesake. So that's a little bit sad. But Thomas Baker Slick Jr. was an eccentric, educated guy, and according to the accounts that I read, he studied at Harvard, Yale, and MIT, and graduated from Exeter University in 1938. Tom was also the heir to an oil fortune. Thomas Slick Sr. died young in 1930 at the age of 46. Now remember this number, Remember the number 46.
46.
Because 46. It's going to be important later. Let's see. Leaning heavily on my notes today, guys, because there are a lot of dates in here and I don't want to get them wrong. Tom Jr. inherited a share of $15 million in 1930. Accounting for inflation, that is a little bit over a quarter of $1 billion in today's economy. I don't know how much of it, right?
Damn.
It's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
Yeah. I don't know how much of that he inherited or how much went to other relatives, but for the rest of his life, he pretty much did whatever he wanted. So I'm guessing he got a pretty good chunk of it. From an early age, Slick had a fascination with the unknown, and while attending courses at Yale, he and several friends traveled to Loch Ness in Scotland in search of none other than Nessie, the Loch Ness Monster.
Aww.
That's neat, right? Take some time off, go to Scotland, look for monsters. His group did not find anything. They didn't have any sightings, but they did talk to several witnesses during a time when sightings were really prevalent. The early 1900s, there was a lot of Loch Ness Monster activity. And this was the beginning of his fascination with cryptozoology. By all accounts, after this, he was pretty much hooked. He was really into it. Interesting little side note, on the way back from Scotland, the rest of Tom's group came back to the United States, went about their business. He stopped over in Russia just to, quote, see what it was like, end quote, in the Soviet Union.
Hmm.
That's interesting. Yeah. And this is pre-World War II, so we were friends with the Soviets at this point. And he went and hung out there for a little bit. That's another detail to hang on to for later. Soviet Union. Keep that in the back of your mind, okay?
Okay.
Later, after finishing his education and inheriting his fortune, he put his wealth to work. And I mean, really put it to work. He had a sizable chunk of, as we said, $250 million in today's economy. Now, nowadays, millionaires get a pretty bad rap. Would you say that's true?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, people don't like millionaires in general. It depends what people you're talking to. But I feel like the general public sentiment is that millionaires kind of suck.
Well, yeah, tax the rich.
Yeah, tax the rich or eat them. But yeah, millionaires don't have a great rap today. And this, normally we would not do a show devoted to an exceedingly wealthy guy. You know, a guy who was like a super, super rich frat boy. Slick was actually a Phi Beta Kappa in college.
Gross.
And fraternities. But Tom Slick Jr. was not like a lot of modern day millionaires. You know the ones I'm talking about. The ones that sit on a throne made of human skulls and stare down at the rest of us while we scrape a pittance of a living from worm shit and dirt and artificial sweetener. You know,
Jeffrey Bezos.
That's not what we're talking about. Tom Slick believed in better things. First, he was a World War II veteran, and he served at the capacity as a, quote, dollar a year man, unquote, meaning he took a token salary of $1 a year, essentially nothing, in order to be enlisted and support the war effort. And a guy of his, you know, his education and his means had quite a bit to offer, and he served in multiple capacities, including overseas deployment in the Pacific during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Didn't have to, just wanted to. Then he founded several scientific institutions that, at one capacity or another, are still around today. In 1941, he established the Foundation of Applied Research, which today operates as the Texas Biomedical Institute. In 1944, he founded the Institute of Inventive Research to support inventors. I don't know exactly what they did. And in 1947, he founded the Southwest Research Institute, later donating his 4,000-acre ranch in the modern-day city of San Antonio, called Cable Ranch. It was called Cable Ranch. And there are still several roads in San Antonio to this day that say Cable Ranch Road or Cable Road or something to that effect. So that's pretty interesting. But he donated 4,000 acres to the Southwest Research Institute, and it sits there to this day. 1957 saw the birth of the Southwest Agricultural Institute, and in 1958, the Mind Science Foundation. Now, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What do you know about ESP? Like psychic powers and shit.
Nothing, I guess. I don't know. Am I supposed to know something?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't,
Maybe. Well, you know what that means.
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay. So the Mind Science Foundation, when it was founded, was devoted to research and looking more into the possibility of possibly proving the existence of ESP, or extrasensory perception, like psychic powers. So Tom Slick...
That's pretty badass.
Right? Like, he woke up one day, maybe. I'm imagining this, but he maybe woke up one day and went, you know what? Psychic powers are a real thing.
So he's like Professor Xavier.
Yeah! He's like Professor Xavier!
That's pretty cool.
Without the wheelchair. And with hair. He had a pretty full head of hair for most of his life, according to all the pictures I saw. So yeah, pretty interesting. And we do know that ESP is a documented phenomena. Mm-hmm. The U.S. government has done extensive research into it. There are many documents which have been declassified in the last few years that give us a better look at that. But there have been, and likely still are for a significant amount of time, branches of the U.S. government that have considered ESP, extrasensory perception, psychic powers, to be something worth investing time in. If you look into the life of Uri Geller, that's pretty interesting. He's an Israeli gentleman, longtime psychic. He's still alive. We won't go too far down that road right now. That's kind of a rabbit hole. But anyway. And then in 1960, he founded the Human Progress Foundation, another scientific establishment that I did not bother to read into. And he was very passionate about art, had a sizable art collection. Today, most of his collection is viewable at the McNay Art Museum in San Antonio.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You've been there. I'm not sure if I've been.
I have. No. No. I mean, I went there with school once, and then I went there for Alex's wedding photos, I believe, or her bridal photos.
Oh, yeah, your sister got her bridal photos done there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah. So, no.
Yeah.
I don't think you've been there, though. It's really cool. It's beautiful.
Probably have.
It's beautiful there.
Speaking of your sister and wedding photos and family stuff, your family has another interesting connection to Tom Slick, which we'll get to shortly, but I just want to make sure I don't forget to mention that.
I do?
Yeah. You'll see. Slick was also the co-inventor of the lift slab method of construction. I do not know what that means, and lift I did not slab. Bother to find out.
Okay.
Lift slab. I'm assuming it involves a slab being moved, presumably lifted. If I had to wager a guess, there are probably cables involved.
I don't know.
Cable ranch. Ooh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't bother to read into that because this was already kind of overwhelming. We're only on page 2 of my notes, so that's how much to this guy there is to talk about. It's a lot. He was also a staunch advocate of world peace, believed very strongly in nuclear disarmament, possibly due to his experiences in World War II. I'm not really sure on that. But he authored the books The Last Great Hope and Permanent Peace, A Check and Balance Plan. He also had connections to the FBI and CIA. And those connections are long and complicated and very convoluted and have to do with companies being sold to other companies and this and that and the other thing. So I'm not going to go super deep into that because I got confused reading about it. But you remember we said he stopped over in the Soviet Union for a little bit in college? Some accounts state that he may have been on like an information gathering mission for the CIA or FBI. Some people believe that.
Okay.
So that's something kind of neat, yeah. He was also acquainted with such historical figures as Jimmy Stewart, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, and several others. There's a pretty long list of names of people that he knew and had regular conversations with.
So he would have gotten into the secrets to the...
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, kind of a secret society type of thing. However, there is no proof that he was actually in a secret society. In fact, the biography on him that I read by Lauren Coleman specifically states that he's not listed as being a member of the, quote, Skull and Bone Society, unquote, which both President Bushes were. That's also a whole other topic for another day.
Yes.
But, yeah, he was very well connected. He knew a lot of wealthy, famous people, you know, people who were very important at the time. What do you think so far about this guy? First impressions.
Billionaire. I mean, rich man.
Rich guy. Yeah. Must have been nice, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And it's 2021. The world is upside down and on fire, and none of us have any money. So it's easy to look back at a guy like Tom Slick and go, man, It would have been nice.
I've never heard of him again until last week. I have never heard of him.
And that's worth talking about. That's part of the reason I wanted to do an episode on Tom Slick, because you grew up in San Antonio. We've talked about that before. I lived there for 10, 12 years, something like that.
I literally drove past the Southwest Research Institute all the time. That's yes. where my closest movie theater was, like driving right past it. And it's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to get into.
You can't get in there.
It's covered with like a lot of trees and stuff like that. So you can't even like see past the buildings.
Yeah.
For a long time, it was just the place known as, you know, that's where the monkeys are.
The monkeys.
The monkeys. That's where they do, I mean, they do testing on
We're going to have a fun conversation about the monkeys.
That's what it was known as for us growing up, is that's where the monkeys were.
So, and I drove past the Texas Biomedical Institute, actually, every time I came to pick you up from your mom's house before we moved in together, because that facility is off, if I'm not mistaken, it's up off of Highway 211.
Okay.
Back where my parents used to live off of Tranco Road. Yeah. These locations probably mean nothing to 90% of you, but the point is that both of these major institutions that Slick founded were very close to where Sarah and I both lived in San Antonio, and we had no idea. Had no idea about this guy.
No.
Until very recently. Yeah. So we mentioned at the beginning that Slick was interested in cryptozoology. He, of course, took that trip to Loch Ness. Now, rich people interested in paranormal things kind of reminds me of Bog Bigelow of Skinwalker Ranch fame. Have you heard of him?
I have, yes.
Yeah. Vegas real estate tycoon bought Skinwalker Ranch, sold it later. It's now owned by Brandon Fugel, another rich guy. Who is mysteriously unverified on Instagram. I follow him and like all his pictures, and his profile is not verified. I don't know why. Interesting little factoid there. But Slick not only put his money where his mouth was, as we said in the intro, he also put his ass where his mouth was.
Ooh.
And I'm just now realizing as I say that out loud how bad it sounds. And I don't think at all it's going to be perceived in the way that I wanted it to. But what I mean is that...
Pucker up.
Gross. What I mean is that he was a man of action. He not only spent millions of dollars financing searches for unclassified animals, he also went himself. We mentioned that he went to Loch Ness, spent some time in Scotland, then went to the Soviet Union for reasons which are undefined. But he also later, after inheriting his fortune, after finishing college, he went on and financed trips to the Himalayas, Nepal, in search of the Yeti. And he went on one trip that was sanctioned by the San Antonio Zoological Society. Another article I found said the San Antonio Zoo. I have a feeling they're probably the same thing. He found and casted footprints, which are now in the possession of Lauren Coleman, noted author and cryptozoologist and founder of the Cryptozoology Museum, like that Lauren Coleman. In fact, a lot of the information that we have tonight comes from the book Tom Slick, True Life Encounters in Cryptozoology by Lauren Coleman. Fun stuff about that book we'll get to in a little bit here too. But he financed these trips and also went on one himself. The trip he went on in 1957, the bus he was riding in at some point towards the end of the journey, the brakes failed while it was going down a hill. Everyone bailed out of the bus. And Tom Slick injured his leg very, very badly, and after that was not able to go on any more of these expeditions. Mm-hmm. But he continued to finance them for the rest of his life. On the 1958 expedition, a year after he was injured, the group he sent photographed alleged Yeti hides and a mummified hand, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a moment. I feel like I'm doing a lot of like, get ready, we're going to talk about this in a moment, this episode too. Sorry, guys. I'm sorry. This is an episode that kind of like, as I looked into it, I would find another fact and another fact and another fact, and that would just keep connecting to different things. So there's a lot of like build up here. So I apologize if I'm burying the lead, but there's a lot. There's a lot. Anyway, this group went, they took photos of Yeti hides and a mummified Yeti hand, which Slick actively worked to debunk. Any evidence he was presented with, he actively worked by consulting scientists and experts on debunking it, because he wanted to separate the legitimate evidence from that which could be explained by classified science. Yeah, really cool. I love that. Let's see. Now, remember a short while ago we mentioned actor Jimmy Stewart?
Yes.
And he's famous for It's a Wonderful Life, Vertigo, Rear Window, many other movies as well, but those are the top three that pop up on Google when you search Jimmy Stewart. So, you know.
Okay.
Are you aware of any other movies that Jimmy Stewart was in? Okay. So after getting these photographs of this mummified Yeti hand, which was kept in a monastery in a place called Pangbosh, Tom Slick told his field crews, and again, this was after his injury, he's like, hey, I want evidence of this. I want more evidence of this.
I'm picturing Jack Black in adventure gear. I don't know why.
As like Tom Slick's agent?
I think so.
Or as Tom Slick himself?
I don't know. Maybe both.
Okay.
I don't know. That's where I'm... Okay.
I imagine Tom Slick as being like a Harrison Ford type. Like, not Force Awakens Harrison Ford, maybe like Air Force One Harrison Ford.
Oh, I was seeing Jack Black. That's very different.
That's an interesting contrast. I would like to see Harrison Ford and Jack Black fight. But they would both have to be in their prime. And I guess that's impossible. All right, well, anyway, so Slick financed these trips, and one of his agents went to the monastery in Pangbosh, where they allegedly had this mummified Yeti hand, and actually stole two bones from it. I think a thumb and one of the fingers.
Damn.
And replaced them with just normal human bones that I guess he brought with him. yeah. And that kind of sucks. Like, that's not okay. You shouldn't steal from monks. In fact, in the intervening years, the entire hand was stolen.
Aww.
No one knows where it is now. It's lost forever.
Aww.
Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Isn't that sad? Yeah. DNA analysis that's been conducted in the intervening years, and I believe the most recent DNA analysis of the two stolen bones, because they do know where those are, was in 2011. And they tested that they were somewhere between the spectrum of human and Neanderthal.
Okay.
So classified DNA, but still not able to totally identify and nail down what it was. So we don't know for sure that that was not a Yeti hand. That's kind of cool.
Cool.
It's kind of cool. Also, New Zealand special effects masters of the Weta workshop. I think they did Lord of the Rings, right?
I have no clue.
I don't know. They've done a lot of movies.
I would not know.
They're expert special effects guys. They produced an accurate replica of the hand and actually donated it to the Pangbosh Monastery.
Aw.
As like a, you know, retroactive...
consolation gift.
I guess, yeah. Sorry your sacred hand was stolen. Here's one that we made. Anyway, shortly after the Nepal expeditions, he financed and participated in expeditions into Northern California to search for Sasquatch. A lot of Sasquatch activity up there. Yeah, he even financed the notorious Peter Byrne, one of the four horsemen of the early days of Bigfoot research. That is also another topic totally unto itself. But basically, they were these four guys who kind of led the charge on Bigfoot research in the early days. And they did not like each other. They never agreed on anything. A lot of what we know about Sasquatch today, or a lot of what we assume we know, comes from these early expeditions. And Tom Slick financed a lot of them. So okay. It's pretty interesting.
Cool. You know? So he's kind of been in the background.
He has.
Of a lot of... Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Let's see. Also in these expeditions, there were a lot of tracks documented and casts. A lot of notes were taken. But in the years since his death, a lot of Tom Slick's records of these California expeditions have been lost to time. Either lost or destroyed or thrown out. Or maybe they're in some guy's basement somewhere. I don't know. But we really don't know the full extent of what was documented during those California expeditions. It's kind of sad. Very interesting. Kind of sad. Also, during the California trips, he instructed his field agents to look for giant salamanders that were rumored to be in the mountains.
Hmm.
I don't believe they ever found any, but he also wanted to find the giant salamanders. He also financed research trips into Sumatra in search of the Orang Pendek, a small humanoid creature which had folklore attached to it going back centuries. In the intervening years, a now extinct species, which is a close relative of Homo erectus, that's us, human beings, which fits the description of the Orang Pendek, has been classified by archaeologists, officially identified in 2003. Homo florensis, because it was found on the island of Flores, and it's colloquially referred to as the Hobbit, because these were very short human ancestors.
Ooh.
Yeah, like little pygmy guys. Now, we don't know for sure that this is the same creature as the Orang Pendek, but I think it's a really bizarre coincidence that we've discovered this species in 2003 as actually having existed in this area where people have for centuries had stories about tiny humanoid Bigfoot creatures. You know? Really, really odd coincidence. Another neat detail about these Sumatran expeditions was the search for a tribe of Amazons. And I mean like...
Oh, yes.
Like Lady Amazons.
That's fucking cool.
Right?
Yeah.
And this was something that was unknown for a really long time. Because apparently when Lauren Coleman first published his book on the life of Tom Slick in 1988, this detail was censored by the editor. They took it out. I guess they thought the audiences of 33 years ago were too easily offended by sexy jungle ladies.
Rude.
Yeah, rude. But the book was republished in 2002, and he was able to include it. So now we know that that was one of the things he was looking for.
That's cool.
Right. What are your thoughts at this point so far? We're about a half hour into this.
I don't know. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's just interesting. Very interesting that he's kind of been in the background. Again, I did not know about him until last week.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was connected to San Antonio, really. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
It's wild.
It's wild, like...
That he played such a large role in the early days of... And just tell me if I'm getting what you're thinking, maybe. Like, he played a really big role in setting up San Antonio and helping it establish as a big modern city.
I don't know.
Well, in terms of like creating jobs and stuff like that. Like,
I mean, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He also played a very large role in the early days of cryptozoology. And I don't.
Yeah. That's what I think is even cooler personally. Yeah. But yeah.
I mean, he wasn't at the Alamo. Okay, fine. But like Peter Byrne is one of those guys, you know, that we sort of look back to as having gotten the Sasquatch search really started in the early days. And okay, maybe if it hadn't been him, it would have been somebody else. And if it hadn't been Tom Slick, it would have been a different financier. But that's not the point. Again, he put his money where his mouth was.
Yeah, yeah. He tried to support the research even when he couldn't himself do it. That's, mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying cool a lot.
Well, I'm saying super a lot this episode. So, I don't know. Hand me your lighter. So we mentioned the Southwest Research Institute a little while ago,
mm-hmm.
And they've been featured on the History Channel. There's an episode of Modern Marvels about non-lethal weaponry that I'm thinking of specifically, where I saw...
I didn't know that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. They've probably been featured in other documentaries, but I know for sure they've been on Modern Marvels.
Cool.
So, yeah, that's really neat. They have an ape sanctuary, which we mentioned earlier. They do R&D for the military. The monkeys! They also work on, like, self-driving cars and stuff like that.
Ooh.
Yeah, okay. Very cool. In fact, in 2019, an article by journalist Brendan Gibbons stated that there is a metal Sasquatch statue on the grounds of the Southwest Institute in honor of Tom Slick. And I searched and searched and searched and could not find any pictures of it. Probably due to the fact that you have to have, like, a security clearance to...
To even get into... Like, all you see is a driveway, an entrance, and an exit. And right there is a security gate. And
yeah.
Like, there's always someone out there.
And the grounds are completely surrounded by trees.
Yep, you can't see anything.
You can't
see... I mean, I think if you drive up on... What's the highway I'm thinking of? The
Callahan.
Yeah, you can kind of see like the buildings, but other than that, you cannot see anything.
You really can't, yeah. So I did quite a bit of searching and searching and searching. I could not find a picture of this Sasquatch statue, but I really wanted to include it in our episode because I thought it was a really cool detail. So I emailed the Southwest Research Institute, which was very easy to do. You just... What were you going to say?
No, I just... That's freaking awesome.
I'm a journalist. I'm not. I'm a boy on the internet. But I went to their website, and there's a contact section, and you can contact their media branch. So I emailed them and said, hey, I can you confirm the existence of this statue? And if so, could I please have a picture of it? And I told them exactly what I was going to do with it, told them who I was, and that we produce a podcast about strange and unsolved phenomena, and that we specifically focus on Texas. And I didn't expect to hear anything back. When I submitted my FOIA request to the CIA about Mothman, I didn't hear anything for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, initial response was 6 weeks. But less than 48 hours later, I received the following email. Hi, Aaron. The Bigfoot we have on campus isn't exactly a statue. It's more like a metal cutout. I've attached a few pictures. For about a year, it was located along the main drive up to our campus, but it now moves from spot to spot. We never know where it's going to pop up next. Hope these help. Thanks, Maria.
That's so...
Isn't that awesome? Awesome?
It's so awesome.
I was so excited.
And then to find out that it moved, like, someone is moving it. I wonder, like, if they're fans, essentially, of Tom Slick or something like that. That
must be.
You know, like, put him in different spots in the trees. That's so awesome.
Yeah, or at least Bigfoot enthusiasts. Yeah. Like, at least people that are familiar with the folklore and oh, we never know where he's going to pop up next. So cool. So cool. And Maria sent me not one, but three photos of the Sasquatch cutout in different locations. So a huge thank you to Maria at SWRI for not only responding to my email, taking time out of your day, but also sending me three different pictures. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You can see these right now on our Instagram. I posted one a couple of days ago. I will post the rest before this episode goes live. And you can also follow the Southwest Research Institute on Instagram and see what they're up to. It's kind of cool. Pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited when this happened. Like, really, I was like, yes.
It's just cool.
It was really neat.
Very, very, very neat.
Made me feel very legitimate. Now, tragically, and I mean tragically, Slick died in October of 1962 in a plane crash while returning from a hunting trip in Canada. And this was a private plane. Sarah, how many famous people have we lost to private plane crashes?
So many. So many.
JFK's son. Right? The Big Bopper. Buddy Holly. Those are the only ones I can think of. Are there any others that you can think of?
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant? That was recent. That was a helicopter, but same concept. Fly commercial, folks. I think that's the lesson of this episode. Fly commercial. You know? Or don't fly. In fact, I would rather just take a train everywhere I go. I like trains. They're romantic. If this podcasting shit ever takes off and we strike it rich, we're going to buy a railroad.
Oh.
I don't know if I had talked to you about that previously.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I feel really good about it. That's what? Sorry.
No, I don't know. That's cool.
I would like to own a railroad.
You could be like the character from Wild Wild West. What's his name?
Oh, I don't remember. The bad guy?
I forgot. Yeah, Kenneth Branagh.
I can't remember the character's name.
On his special train.
Special train. And then I would have a robot spider, and then Will Smith would defeat me. So I guess I've got the rest of my life figured out. All right, anyway. Specifically, Slick passed away on October 6th of 1962. At the age of 46. Do you remember why 46 is a significant number?
That's the same age his dad died.
Yes. His father died at the same age. Thomas Baker Slick Sr., Thomas Baker Slick Jr. both passed away at the age of 46. I could not find details as to his father's death, whether it was an accident or natural causes. I'm sure it's out there somewhere, but I read quite a few articles and I couldn't find it. So if anyone knows how Tom Slick Sr. died, I'm actually very eager to find that out. Please let me know. And here's another little weird synchronicity. I started doing research on Tom Slick's birth and death on October 6th of this year, not knowing any of this already. Exactly 59 years to the day.
Interesting.
Isn't it? And that was actually the moment where I was like... We have to do an episode on this guy. Like, I don't know if this means anything or not, but we have to do an episode on this guy. And those of you who are our friends in the 4TN community, like, you'll understand why I felt so strongly I needed to latch onto this, realizing that those dates were the same dates. It just blew my mind. Like, I had this moment where I was literally staring at the computer screen, jaw dropped, just like, oh my gosh, 59 years to the day. And I just happened to get interested in this stuff. This guy's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy to me. I don't know. Synchronicity, maybe. Coincidence, definitely. But I'm just saying, that's what happened. So, Mr. Slick is interred in the Mission Burial Park in San Antonio. You can visit his grave to this day. He has a mausoleum. And here's something also kind of interesting. Remember earlier, Sarah, I mentioned that your family actually has a connection.
Oh, my aunt.
Yes.
My aunt is buried there.
In the same cemetery. Yeah. I don't want to be ghoulish about it. Like, you know, there's only so many cemeteries, and of course people are going to be buried there. But it was just an interesting little connection, you know.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Wow. Another weird little possible synchronicity as I was looking into this stuff. Pretty interesting. But it's sad because Slick was only 46 years old when he died and had already poured a lot of money into cryptozoological studies. And we really have to wonder what else might have been discovered if he had lived longer. Would records of his California expeditions maybe have been preserved, possibly published? We can reasonably speculate that this might have been the case if he had lived longer.
He might have been able to support more research.
Yeah, more money would have gone into this stuff. And he again, remember we talked about his last, the last expedition he financed into Nepal was in 1958, only 4 years before his death. It's pretty sad. Mm-hmm. It really bums me out. Nowadays, at the intersection of highways 151 and 410 sits Tom Slick Park. Those of you who are from San Antonio or have spent time there, you're probably right now doing the same thing we just said. Oh, yeah. Tom Slick Park is a beautiful, beautiful little park at the intersection of these two highways. It has space for dogs. There is a playground. There are picnic tables. And it also has a Loch Ness Monster statue and Sasquatch footprints.
I've definitely been there, but I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. Yeah. There's a little pond in the middle of the park, and there's also a metal cutout piece of art. Of the Loch Ness Monster sticking out of the pond.
Yeah. I remember that.
And I could not find pictures of the Sasquatch footprints. We have not been to San Antonio since I started researching for this episode, so I don't have pictures of those footprints, unfortunately. But
definitely have to visit it.
Yeah.
Revisit. I've been there multiple times, but yeah. I didn't know that was there.
We've driven
past
it.
Obviously it's named after someone, but I didn't ever care enough to look it up.
Me neither. Until I got into this. So we'll go there pretty soon and we'll post some pictures. Did we ever finish talking about Jimmy Stewart?
I don't think so.
Did I explain the Jimmy Stewart thing, why that's important?
I don't think so.
Oh, snap, you guys. I totally glazed over that whole thing. Okay, so I may copy this and put it back earlier in the episode, or I may just leave it right here. But when when the Yeti bones were smuggled out of the Pangbosh Monastery, the guy that Tom Slick financed to go there and get evidence passed them off to Jimmy Stewart, who allegedly smuggled them out of India.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think I got derailed by the Weta workshop stuff. Stewart and Slick were friends through a mutual acquaintance. They were also hunting partners, I guess. Or no, Slick was a hunting partner of Stewart's friend, and they became friends, and yada, yada, yada. I just realized I didn't finish explaining that earlier. That would have made for a really bad episode if I just left that loose end hanging there. I'm sorry, guys. I hope you can forgive me. So This would be a pretty good place to end this episode. Guy financed cryptozoological expeditions. There's a park with cryptozoology art named after him. The land from that park was actually donated by SWRI to the San Antonio Parks and Recreation Department. Pretty cool. Yeah. But there's more to this. There's a little more. Little bit more. In the book Monsters of Texas by Nick Redfern and Ken Gerhard, Gerhard writes about a flap of Bigfoot sightings around Kelly Air Force Base in the mid-70s. I went to the San Antonio Westside Memories group, which we've used as a resource on this show before, back in our first episode, The Dancing Devil of El Camaroncito. And I asked, does anyone remember anything about a Bigfoot sighting in the 70s around Kelly Air Force Base? That's all I asked. And I got a number of replies, a few. Most of the responses were just people making fun of me.
Oh my god.
Posting laughing emojis, and I think there were a couple office memes, Michael Scott from The Office. Several people actually made references to El Camaroncito, so that kind of shows you how deep this legend goes. Wow. You mentioned Sasquatch, and people immediately go back to that. Go listen to our first episode for more on that. So I was pretty upset after I cried for a little while and sent some angry DMs and questioned the...
Wait, did you really?
No.
Oh, my God. No,
I just laughed it off. No, of course, if you bring up the paranormal, people are gonna laugh at you. That's totally fine. That's just a part of it. But then I went back and I looked at the rest of the comments, and a few people actually said they did remember hearing about it. And a couple of people said that they believed it was an ape which had escaped from the, quote, ape sanctuary off of 410. Now, Sarah, there is no quote-unquote ape sanctuary off of 410. What there actually is
the Southwest Institute.
The Southwest Research Institute. Mm-hmm. Yes. In fact, this
the
is...
The monkeys.
The monkeys. Never seen any of these monkeys. Never seen them. You can't see inside, as we said earlier. But, yeah, they're referring to the Southwest Research Institute. In fact, as of today, the Southwest Research Institute has, quote, about 2,500 non-human primate specimens, unquote, currently living in their facility.
That's a lot of monkeys.
That's a lot! That's a whole lot! A whole lot. In fact, according to another article, SWRI has, quote, about 2,600 employees. That means the human-to-ape ratio of the 4,000-acre ranch is nearly 1-to-1. I mean, this is...
Wow.
2,500 non-human primates in a super secure, secretive compound that does testing for the U.S. military in the heart of San Antonio.
I didn't know there were that many.
Me neither.
I mean, again, I always knew there were monkeys there, yeah. But I didn't know.
This is their official website that says this.
Wow.
2,500. I mean, this is a disaster waiting to happen, you guys. This is a prequel to the Planet of the Apes. Is it too much of a stretch to assume that at least one of these, quote, non-human primates, quote, is perhaps something yet unclassified by science?
We're not allowed to know.
We're not allowed to know. Are we really taking a leap too far if we assume that the SWRI has live Bigfoot specimens and that one of them escaped in the 70s?
No. Wait. Yes? I don't...
Is the world honestly asking me, us, you and I, and everyone listening to this, to believe that is not exactly the case? Like, are you really, can you really reasonably expect me not to assume that they have Bigfoot specimens there and that one escaped in the 70s? I don't think that's reasonable. I think it's 100% plausible, and I think that everyone should be expected to draw that conclusion, and there's nothing to back this up. This is just an idea I came up with.
I mean, it would be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
He's been in San Antonio the whole time.
The whole time. The whole time.
On the west side.
So, I mean, maybe not. This is extrapolation on my part. But it is a fun...
I don't know what kind of research they do with them. I don't know if it...
I don't either.
I don't know. I truly don't. If it's... I mean, I've met a couple of people, even in the veterinary industry, that were like, that's what I want to go do eventually, is work at that institute.
Work at SWRI?
Yeah, specifically, wow. She would kind of like, I want to work on the monkeys. And I never, I never looked into it, so I never, that's not what I want to do, so.
Interesting.
I never looked into that.
You don't
want to
work on monkeys?
No.
I mean, a 1-to-1 human-ape ratio, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
That scares the hell out of
no,
me.
No, thank you.
Ugh.
I'm fine with the Danes and the Rottweilers right now. That's good for me.
You've been bitten by more Chihuahuas than big dogs.
No, actually. I've been bitten more. I've been bitten by a Great Dane and by a Australian Shepherd.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Not small. I mean, small dogs are more scarier to me than big dogs, but I know I've only been bitten by medium to large size dogs.
Well.
And cats.
To hell with those dogs.
And cats.
I'm just kidding.
Twice cat.
Cats, yeah. Cats are mean.
Yeah, when I'm trying to draw blood from them, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
A 1-to-1 cat-human ratio honestly scares me a little more than a 1-to-1.
That would never happen.
Ape-to-human ratio, yeah. Yeah. Animals are dangerous is the point. So yeah, there's nothing to prove that SWRI is studying Bigfoot specimens. There's nothing to prove that this creature that was seen around Kelly Air Force Base in the 70s was anything other than an orangutan. Even though witnesses described it as being like 6 to 7 feet tall, orangutans are not that tall. They're not. They're very strong, but they're not that tall. So, you know, maybe, maybe not. But it is a really fun historical fact that the man who founded this institute and who believed in the possibility of the existence of Sasquatch, that this institute might have been the cause of a string of Bigfoot sightings in the 70s. You know,
yeah.
10, 20 years after, not 20, 10 or so years after his death. That's a really cool historical footnote. And as a final aside, the Kelly Air Force Base sightings were not the first, and certainly not the last, notorious Sasquatch sightings to come out of Southwest Texas. And this at long last brings us full circle, because this is what I was researching when I fell into the black hole that is the life and times of Tom Slick. I was looking into Sasquatch sightings in our neck of the woods, and of course I found out about this guy, and it just blew my mind. Blew my mind. So I feel very strongly that Tom Slick is underappreciated. I think he's underdiscussed, as made evident by the fact that you and I both, you grew up there. I spent a ton of time in San Antonio and didn't know who this guy was.
Yeah.
Didn't know anything about him. And that's why I wanted to give him his own episode. But that doesn't mean that the topic of Sasquatch in San Antonio has been covered. And in order to find out more, you'll have to join us next time on Hey Strangeness! We're doing a two-parter, baby! Yeah! Yeah! All right! That's right. We're coming back.
It's a comeback.
It's a comeback.
I don't know.
Two-parter, baby. Two-parter. We will be back in a couple of weeks talking about Sasquatch sightings, Sasquatch hoaxes, and Sasquatch things in central southwestern Texas. But in the meantime, look into the life of Tom Slick. Read up on this guy, because I couldn't cover everything here. There was too much. Too much. How are you feeling, Sarah, after all this?
It's a lot. It's a lot of information about someone that I had no idea about, absolutely zero, until you came home a couple weeks ago, I think, at this point.
The front door and was like, "Dad, I read about this guy today!"
Yeah, exactly. It's super interesting that he... San Antonio, why?
Yeah. He loves San Antonio.
Not that I don't love San Antonio, that's not what I mean, but like... San Antonio. And I told you, I'd never really heard about Sasquatch sightings in Texas. Like that, you know what I mean? It wasn't something my family talked about growing up. We never heard about it.
I actually called your, you called your mom.
I did call my mom. And
we call your mom for a lot of this stuff.
I called my mom and I was like, "Do you know anything about Sasquatch sightings? You know, 70s, maybe later, anything like that?" Absolute no.
She's like, "Mija, no."
No. Not at all. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, growing up, we had novellas on the TV, so not Texas news, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I never heard about him. So it's really cool. It's just cool to see.
Fun little piece of local history.
The beginning, a lot, too, of you know, research being funded specifically to find cryptids and kind of strange animals. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. There's a lot to this guy and to his background. There's a lot to the Jimmy Stewart connection. Definitely read into the CIA, FBI stuff if you guys have an interest in it. It's too convoluted and complicated for me to get into right now. I barely was able to wrap my head around it after reading the book by Lauren Coleman. In fact, full disclosure, I haven't finished all of that book. I ordered it, True Life Encounters in Cryptozoology.
Like 10 days ago.
Yeah, I ordered it like 10 days ago when I started reading about this guy, and then flipped through it for supplemental material for this episode, and now I'm going back to read the whole thing. So fair chance I'm going to find 5 or 6 more things about Tom Slick that I feel belong
in the next episode.
Yeah, and I'll probably bring them up. Oh, here's a neat one. Actor Nicolas Cage recently signed a contract to portray Tom Slick in a fictional movie tentatively titled Tom Slick Monster Hunter.
He's going to steal the Loch Ness Monster.
We're going to steal the Loch Ness Monster. Or the Peng Bosch hand. We're going to steal the Peng Bosch hand. Which they actually did.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever has it, please give it back. I mean, seriously, fuck you and give it back. Like, why would you steal from monks? They're monks. They don't have that much stuff to begin with. It's kind of fucked up. kind of fucked up. We didn't cuss a lot this episode, but I feel very strongly that it's super shitty.
It's shit like that that is the reason why we don't have a lot of actual evidence now anymore.
Yeah, because of hoaxers and shysters and stealers.
And assholes.
Assholes. Fuck you guys. Someone has that hand. Somebody has it in a box in their house. Give it back. Hashtag return the Pangbosh hand. What was I saying?
I don't remember.
Oh, God. That's what happens when you talk about Tom Slick. You end up chasing yourself in circles, and you get confused, and you can't remember what you were saying. But anyway, tune in next time when we will talk about Sasquatch sightings in the central southwestern United States. And as a brief little footnote, if you are as tired as I am of the chupacabra being used, the term chupacabra being used to describe two different things, then get on Instagram, get on Twitter, follow Hey Strangeness.
Choose a new name.
Choose a new name. Follow Paranormality Media. Starting very soon, you will be able to vote for your top choices to rename the Texas Chupacabra. Right now, you can submit your suggestions. Every name that is suggested will go on the bracket. There will be a series of polls that you specifically will vote in. You. And together, we will change the name of the Texas Chupacabra.
We will.
We will. Unless you don't want to, in which case you don't have to participate, and you also don't need to get upset about it, because we're all just here to have a good time. This is all for fun. But I feel very strongly that the Texas Chupacabra should be called something else, and after several in-depth conversations with members of the cryptozoology community, persons of Latin descent, persons who have absolutely no interest in this and did not know what I was talking about and just let me run my mouth until I got bored, the general consensus seems to be, yeah, let's rename this thing.
Yeah.
Let's rename it.
Let's rename it.
Let's put the term chupacabra where it belongs, and that is in Puerto Rico. That belongs to Puerto Rico.
It does.
Let's call this mangy-ass dog from Texas something else. Thank you for tuning in to Hey Strangeness. My name is Aaron.
And I'm Sarah.
And we really appreciate you guys listening. We appreciate your support.
I do. I really do.
It means a lot. Yeah. We didn't think we were going to do more than an episode, if that. So we really appreciate you guys being so cool about
letting us talk.
Letting us talk. Have a fantastic day, morning, evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. We will see you in a couple of weeks for the San Antonio Sasquatch, and hopefully we'll see you in a few more weeks at CryptidCon.
Yay!
Yay! Sayonara, minasan, ashiteru!